wonderful to know we're one with Christ. Yeah. Oh, it's so wonderful when these human experiences overtake us and try to consume us, we can step aside and step over and see the salvation of the Lord and remember, hold on, I'm not in this by myself. That spirit being in me called the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is right here to keep us going. And so our support scripture comes from Romans 12:2. We're continuing with this series this morning. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Our focus scripture is from John 17. And I'm taking only 15 and 16 this morning. Listen to what Jesus prayed for us. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Protect them from the evil one. Someone say, protect them from the evil one. That's John chapter 17, verse 15 and 16. And today, as we continue in this series of balance and engagement with detachment, we're going into God's protection plan. God's protection plan. Now, last week we talked about the slang saying, say less. Y'all remember say less? So we're going to just review that a little bit. Say less means I understand. It means I get it. And basically, it is essentially the way that we get our point across that we understand. And it's also used as a way of agreement. So that everybody understands, you don't have to tell another story, Pastor. You don't have to give another reference. Somebody say less. So, when we think of say less and God's protection plan, a question that we can ask this morning is, are we saying more about God and less about the world? Or are we saying more about the world and less about God? I'll ask that again. Are we saying more about God, saying how good God is, and less about the world, what's going on in the world, what's happening with the world, and what our experiences out here of the world are? Or are we saying more about all the world? Every now and then you say, well, you know, I just made God do something. Which one are we focusing on? The Say Less protection plans includes this. It includes that we ask that important question. Am I saying more about God or more about the world? When I say about the world, I'm talking about the circumstances. I'm talking about what's going on in politics, what's going on the job, what the situation looks like. So say, repeat after me, am I asking more about God or more about the world? See, when we realize what we're talking about, there's something called a litmus test. And a litmus test is a test in which a single factor, an attitude, an event, or a fact is decisive. And it's using one particular thing to determine where a person stands on a particular topic. Somebody said litmus test. The litmus test has scientific origins. And it was developed in the 14th century, where scientists discovered that litmus is a mixture of colored core compounds made from the lichen. These are in the sea. It's a form of seaweed. But anyway, wherever, the way you can tell with the litmus test is the paper turns red and acidic to show that the more acid that's in it, that paper turns red. And the way you can tell how much alkaline is in it, it'll turn blue. So that's the way people would find out or determine how much acid or alkaline was in a solution. And 6 centuries later, more modern, people began using the phrase litmus test figuratively. Have y'all ever heard of that phrase, the litmus test? Got to check it out, see what's happening. Well, it started in science. And the thing with the litmus test is it now refers to a single factor that establishes the true character of something or how that thing may be assigned to one category or another. Cats include cats, lions, those panthers, how they categorize, look at the litmus test. Often it refers to something that can be used to make a judgment about whether someone or something is acceptable or not. Closer to home, that test can be used to tell about what is holy or what is unholy, what is moral or what is amoral. So what does a divine litmus test look like? If we can, you know, base things on what we see and you can just kind of tell things. What does the divine litmus test look like? Divine litmus tests look like this. We ask, where does God's truth fall in determining a judgment about someone or something and if it is acceptable or unacceptable? The litmus test, truly, what is holy? What is unholy? Through the eyes of faith, what is moral or immoral? That's why we're told in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove, somebody say, what is? The perfect, good, acceptable will of God. That is God's litmus test. We cannot conform. So whenever we think about this divine litmus test, we have to have a moment of remembrance and observation. What does this remembrance and observation look like? It looks like what Jesus did in John 17. Listen to this. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Somebody say, protect them from the evil one. And because this is a divine litmus test, we are empowered to ask, what is the evil one? Who is the evil one? I touched on this a little bit last week, and so I wanted to come back and delve a little bit deeper into the evil one. And just like the word, we realize that everything has a two-edged sword. Somebody said two-edged sword. The two-edged fold, the two-edged sword is twofold. It is us, somebody say it's us, and it is it or them. Traditionally, I was taught And I really believe that the evil one was the devil, Beelzebub, that sly fox, Slewfoot. What y'all call him? The adversary, the enemy. I used to think that was exactly what Jesus was praying. Protect them from that devil. And then after getting a little closer and deep, whenever the Holy Spirit break it down and they stop and say, really? Who is? What is the evil one? Which one is? That's why it's important that we remember we are spiritual beings having a human experience. The deeper question that divine litmus test really reveals in us, it empowers us to ask the question, truly, what is the evil that's within me? Somebody say, what is the evil that's in me? Am I willing to look at the evil one in me? So I'm turning around purposefully, because sometimes you just have to turn your back when the truth cut like a knife and you don't want people to see how your face look when it hit home. But whenever you get in the deep water, somebody say, go down into the deep. The going down into the deep is where we are willing to say to ourselves, am I the evil one this time? Am I willing to look at the evil one, the evilness in me? Y'all remember Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde? The Hulk? David Banner? Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. What are we hiding from ourselves that God is showing us in plain sight? But it's easier to blame everybody else. It's easier for me to point my finger at you than to take a trip on the good old gospel ship and look in the mirror. I went spiritual before I went secular this time. I'm talking to the girl in the mirror. I'm asking her, change your ways. Can you look in that mirror? And can we be real enough to say, it's me. It's me. Ooh, I don't like it. It's me, oh Lord. Not only am I standing in the need of prayer, I'm standing in the need of forgiveness. I'm standing in the need of resurrection. I'm standing in the need of purging. Lord, it's me that won't come to grips with what you keep showing me. Not about my sister, brother. Oh, but about Katie, the one y'all don't want to see at the house when she done took her head out. But Jesus says, as a way for us to remember and observe, so simple. Jesus said in Matthew 4:24, see to it that no one misleads you. I always thought it was a preacher. Something on TV. Jesus said, see that no one misleads you. Somebody repeat after me. Not even ourselves. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Remix. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Not the people on that side of town necessarily, but the evil that lurks in us. He says it will be held to your navel and marrow to your bones. Proverbs 3:5-7. And then Proverbs 4:3 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Ask yourself, what are the issues, Jesus, in my life? What are the issues? And 1 John 1:4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, even one that you come up with, Katie. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit by the spirit to see whether or not they are from God. Repeat after me. Test the spirit.
Test the spirit.
Even your own. Because 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, Paul says, guard your heart. I included guard your heart. Guard your minds that they are not led astray. Somebody say it like this, from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. That's why we have to, somebody say, be not deceived by folk. But please, be not deceived by yourself. Divine remembrance also helps in the form of protection, in that God's protection plan really does have to do with saying less. Yeah, say less, as in don't speak. And when we realize what that plan looks like, we have the understanding of knowing it empowers us. It's just something about it when we know that Jesus asked, Jesus prayed that we are protected from the evil one. Whether it is one outside of our body or it is one within our soul. But at the end of the day, we have the opportunity and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to ask truly, Jesus, who is the evil one here? What is the evil one? Because I thought I knew where it was. I thought it was them. But like David, when Samuel called him out, he had to say, it's me, it's me. Y'all remember when David killed Bathsheba's husband?
Yes.
I think his name was Uriah. David was king. But he had to have Bathsheba. She must have been like that. Killed her whole husband. And he already had wives and concubines and anything else. He was a king. He could do whatever he wanted. Why he kill that man? And then when Samuel brought it down to him and started talking, talked to him in parable, child, you know what? I'm not doing it like Samuel would, but I'm just, you know, acting like if I was talking to one of my selves. You know what happened? What they do? Oh, I know they did. They said that. Yeah, when, where, how? Just a few minutes ago when I heard you on the phone. Ew. Whenever I heard you saying what you would do if you could, ooh, you better be glad I ain't. But you know you did. The beautiful part about God's protection is true. Somebody repeat after me. No matter who the evil one is, we're protected from. Somebody say self-sabotage. We'll stop right there because it's a real thing. So when we know that Christ prayed and asked God to protect us, that means we're empowered to know where to go. Somebody say, you need to know where you can go. Work or don't work your name. But you need to know where to go. You need to know what to say. And when everything else fails, somebody say, when everything else fails, I can go to the rock. Now, y'all know how my cousin, Alfie, she's my cousin now. A few weeks ago, Alfie said something. Well, he brought us some rocks from somewhere. I don't think he shipped them across, you know, the ocean or nothing. But he had some rocks a while back. And I've been figuring out, when am I going to use these rocks, Jesus? So I have some rocks for us. Somebody say, I can go to the rock. When everything else fails, I can go to the rock. Y'all know I always have a song in my head. If it's not from the movies or a cartoon, it's something. Just give everybody. We have to know where we can go. So somebody say, rock,
stay.
Rock, stay, baby. Rock, stay. You better. Because 1 Samuel 2 tells us, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 22:32 says, for who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock but our God? Somebody say, who is a rock but our God? How y'all rocking? Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Then Psalm 61:2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto the Lord. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you're facing, no matter what decision you are trying to. From the end of the earth, cry unto our Father. In that sense, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Somebody said, I can go to the rock. When everything else fails, I can go to the rock. Hold your rock up. How we rock. Upon Christ, the solid
rock,
I stand. All of the ground is sitting and saying. Somebody help me real quick with what was that song that Whitney sang? And the preacher's bride, wife with George Masquire, I can hear it, but I can't get it. It had something to do with the rock. It was the song of the rock, I cannot remember.
I go to the rock.
I can go to the rock. We still going to the rock. Thank you, baby. Somebody say, I can go to the rock. Not the wrestler.
Dude's got some big muscles.
He is a rock. Some folk know some other kind of rock. Oh, whenever I wanted to get married, I want somebody to give me a rock. We've heard about the Rock of Gibraltar. But there's a rock. Somebody said, be very sure. The anchor, your anchor holds and grips the solid. Y'all know who the rock is. We said earlier, what's his name?
Jesus.
And this is how we rock. I love the message. Do not be so well adjusted to your culture that you don't know how to rock. And that you fit into it without even thinking. But instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. You can readily recognize what God wants from you, and you can respond to it quickly. Somebody say quickly.
Quickly.
Unlike the culture around you that's trying to get you to rock, rock whatever kind of way, steady, unsteady. You know, some people don't want you to be secure, confident, and firmly established. In this culture, it's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. But somebody said, God brings us up. God brings us up, and he brings out the best of us, and he's developing rock-like character. He's developing well-formed maturity in us. That's why we can go to the rock and rock on. Somebody say, rock on.
Rock on.
Rock on. Why? We can rock on because Jesus said, my prayer is that you not take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Whether it's the evil that is called my humanity, or whether it's the evil that's somebody else's humanity. But whatever the evil is, protect us from it. It doesn't matter where it's come from, just protect me from the evil one. Even if it's me. Somebody say, even if it's me, Lord. Because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of it. God is so good, isn't he?
Yes.
Stand to your feet, house of Judah. Somebody say, I can go to the rock.
I can go to the rock.
Somebody say, I'm going to learn to say less.
Because
I might be a evil one. Somebody say, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw. On the poor chipper side, Charlie Brown in The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown said, when everybody had the cookies and the apples and all of the yummy candy, poor Charlie Brown looked in his bag and said, all I got was a rock. Charlie Brown didn't know what was in that bag. What's in your bag? What's in your bag? All I got is a rock. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning thanking you. You are our rock. Thanking you that there is no power except in your name. And when we call your name, Lord, we know the power is coming. Oh, you are the rock in which we stand. We are a rock. We know that when we connect and ground in you, how great is our God. And maybe we don't even realize we have a rock. We might feel like all we have is a pebble. But whatever it is, Lord, it's one thing about it. We can call your name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, whether it's mine or somebody else's or something I'm afraid of, something I don't know how to address, something I don't know how to face. All I got to say is Jesus. Jesus, the rock of my salvation. Jesus, I can call your name because there is no rock like you. I can say Jesus because there is no rock like you. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You are my strength. Jesus, you are the rock that is higher than I. Lord, help me to remember. You pray for my protection, from our protection. We pray. You pray for us. And because you do, we can say thank you. Lord Jesus, and hold fast to the rock. For it is in your great name we call. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we ask that whatever is before us, you take us there with ease. Under grace and perfect ways. For your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Now, my friends, let us go forth knowing what to say and how to stand. And we can say, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the rock, the power that works in us, for your name's sake and for your glory. Go forth and be encouraged in Christ.